going to be carrying on with our series entitled Believe. And specifically today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking a little bit about prayer. Now, there is a type of prayer that I've prayed many times. And I know some of you, actually maybe even many of you, have prayed this prayer many times too. And I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out whether this kind of prayer is in fact valid. Sorry, otherwise my notes are going to blow away. Whether this kind of prayer is in fact valid. And to be honest, I'm not really sure. But where I'm standing at the moment is that I still pray that prayer because I'm kind of leaning a little bit more that way. And the prayer goes a little bit something like this. Please, God, help me find a parking space. And I happen to believe, although I don't have any concrete proof, that modern-day parking lots are in some ways modern-day temples of prayer. Because, we tend to rush from one thing to the next, and lo and behold, you arrive at the parking lot, and you didn't budget 5, 10 minutes to find a parking space, especially in town. And not only do they charge you a gazillion bucks for half an hour, but there's no parking spaces in town. But, it's one of those things that kind of rattles around in my head when I pray those prayers. I'm like, God, please, I just need a parking now. But then I think, other people have got a lot more serious problems than that. And is God going to kind of like take away time from, worrying about world hunger and kind of more serious things and kind of reach down and provide a miraculous parking spot for me? Like I said, I wrestle with these things from time to time. And where I'm currently at, and please, this is not in the Bible, I'm just expressing myself out loud here. But where I've kind of landed is I actually don't mind if my kids ask me for petty things. As long as they understand that sometimes I'll say no, and if I say no, it's not good for them to be upset about that. Does that make sense? So I kind of lean with that. I'm like, God, I'm going to ask you. If I don't get a miracle, I'm not going to be upset with you. But amen, you're my father, I'm your son. I'm just going to ask anyway. And it's not watertight reasoning, and I'm certainly open to changing my views. But one thing about the parking lot prayer is that it is very quick to figure out whether that prayer got answered. It's like, God, please. And then all of a sudden, you see that parking space. Now, this is where it gets a little bit complicated because did God give me that parking space or did the person just leave the shopping center at that time? And we're not even going to go down that rabbit hole. That is like full-on hardcore stuff there. But what is clear is that it certainly feels like you either had your prayer answered or not. Does that kind of make sense? The answer is fairly immediate. But prayer isn't always like that, is it? It's not always so obvious. It's not always so immediate whether the prayer has been answered. It doesn't always feel even, or it's not always kind of easy to feel whether God's even listening. And it's kind of one of those things when you speak to your friends, when you speak to your kids, when you speak to your spouse, you want them to look at you and go, mm-hmm. Then at least they've kind of heard you. With God, it's a little harder, isn't it? We kind of make a prayer and you don't hear, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, at least he's heard. God, you can do with it what you want. At least I feel like you've heard. Sometimes we pray and it's just, God, have you heard me? I'm not getting any feedback here. It can be a challenge, and trying to figure out whether the answer is no. See, when the answer is yes, we feel it immediately. We ask for something, it happens. Like, amen, God, so grateful, and it's clear. If the answer is no, then it's like, well, God, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean no for now? Does that mean no forever? sometimes kind of in our worldly thinking, we're like, okay, well, you know, maybe if I do enough good things, then that'll kind of convince God, or, you know, and we can kind of go into kind of strange spiritual psychology of how do we get an answer from God? How do we figure these things out? And yet, in spite of all of this uncertainty, as disciples, we must believe in prayer. It's just one of those things. We just, you know, when you see a disciple who stopped believing in the power of prayer, there's trouble. There's trouble in the land, isn't there? Because sometimes, prayer is the only thing you've got. So we must believe. And you know, we need to understand that with many things, the answers that we wish we would get aren't the answers that we're going to get. And today I want to talk a little bit about three of those prayers that I certainly pray often. And we're going to talk a little bit about the answers that sometimes we don't want to hear from God. Let's pray, and then let's turn to Romans chapter 5. But let's go to God. Holy Father, God, thank you so much just for this time. God, even now as I pray, it's just such confidence as we as a congregation pray. There's such confidence in knowing that you are listening to us, God. That you are with us. You are by our side. God, you know our hearts. You know our minds. And God, this morning as we look through some scriptures, as we learn, as we read about prayer, as we learn and read about you, God, please open up our hearts to what we need to hear this morning. God, please compensate for my great many weaknesses and help this just to be a wonderful celebration as a church of the power that you have. God, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a look in Romans chapter 5. We're gonna start off by talking about the prayer for strength. The prayer for strength. You ever prayed that one before? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes, I need to be honest, sometimes I feel a little jealous when I see a strong person. And I'm not talking about like a gym strong person. I'm like, hey, everyone needs to do whatever they want to do. And if you've got 5 hours a day to spend in gym, then that's, you know, that's up to you. But when you see someone who kind of handles life well, someone who's been through extremely tough times, and yet they're still strong, they're faithful, I must say, sometimes I look at that and I'm like, man, I want that. I want more of that. And, you know, I don't think it's wrong to desire to be better, but what I often want in those moments of weakness, what I want is a magic wand prayer. I don't know if you've ever prayed those, and maybe you've even experienced them, and I've certainly experienced it from time to time, where you're feeling something, you pray, and straight after your prayer, it feels like it's changed. It's like there was, you know, almost like there was something miraculous that happened. And you know, sometimes I think what happens to us is when we pray, we want that all the time. We want the miracle every time. And when it comes to strength, I've certainly felt that. When I'm weak, I want that strength right there and then. But have a look in Romans 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You know, it's a passage we've read as a church, and I'm sure many of us know this passage really well. But it's a passage about hope, and it's a passage about character. But the part that we don't always like is the fact that in order to get there, God allows us to go through suffering. He puts us into situations where we must suffer. We must persevere. And by suffering and by persevering, what gets produced in us is character and hope. And if you think about it like that, the prayer to all of a sudden have this kind of miraculous, you know, redemption from our tough times, it doesn't make spiritual sense in the way that God's given it to us, does it? And I think, you know, one of the challenges in praying for strength is that if you look at this, and there's many other passages like it, so often God's preferred way of making you strong is by allowing you to go through difficulty. And you know what? When we overcome, we get stronger. And we go through difficulty, and we overcome, and we get stronger. And one day we look back and we say, amen, God, you've helped me grow. You've helped me change. I'm different. I'm better. Why? Because I went through difficulties and I overcame. You know, with my kids, one of their, certainly with my oldest, who's now 7, he hates making mistakes. If he makes a mistake in his homework, or if he, you know, if something goes wrong, or he has an accident, he really, it puts a huge burden on his shoulders. He hates it. And, you know, as a family, it's one of our biggest, you know, one of our biggest kind of lessons that we constantly teach him is, and we ask him this, we don't even have to finish the sentence. It's, how do we learn? And he'll answer, by making mistakes. And the reason he knows that is time and time again, it's teaching. Listen, making a mistake, you're not going to get the word right if you don't make a mistake and see how to do it right. It's the same with his maths. It's the same with how to behave around people. It's the same with everything. The way we learn is by making mistakes. And I know for those of you who maybe have either gone through a tough time, maybe you are going through a difficult time right now. Maybe if you're in a real dip, you feel like my whole life is a tough time. And those times are incredibly difficult, incredibly, incredibly difficult to get out of. And I want to encourage you, God is molding you. He is you. The fact that you're here, the fact that you're fighting, God is molding you. And there is a passage about pain and about trouble that we experience in this life that I love it and I hold on to it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think it might come up. Yeah, there it is. Let me read it with you. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Church, when you're feeling weak, pray for strength, absolutely. But understand that sometimes the answer to that prayer will come in the form of challenges that you need to keep fighting, you need to keep persevering through, and you need to keep believing. Secondly, the prayer for wisdom. Have a look in Philippians chapter 1. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't want the strength as much as I want the answer. And you know, that happens a lot. You know, you need to make a decision. You get a job offer. You're in a little bit of a tough situation. You're wanting to make a decision about a relationship, about where you live. about a friendship. You know, are they a good friend? Are they a bad friend? Maybe you're in high school and your parents are kind of hinting to you that it's a bad friend. You kind of like them. You need to make some decisions. Should I go away with them for the weekend, etc., etc.? And sometimes we just want the answer. And I know many of us have gone for the fleece option. Okay, it's like, okay, I'm going to put this on the edge of the table, and you know, God, if it falls over by tomorrow, then I'll see that as a sign. And we want that. We want God. We want to kind of make it easy for God to give us an answer, don't we? It's like, God, you know, okay, if they email me this morning, then I'll see it as a sign. And it's like, okay, but if they don't, it's kind of like, it's like trying to corner God to give us a yes and a no. Just want the answer. You know, I feel, I don't know whether it's just my life that just has got more and more busy, but it feels like life is just busy. And what happens is when life is busy, it becomes harder and harder to figure out, what do you say yes to, what do you say no to? And you've got work, and you've got family, and you've got all these different things, and it's just complicated. It's hard. And our brains are notoriously bad at figuring this stuff out. Okay, it's part of our biology. It's one of the subjects that I teach at UCT, the psychosocial behavior. And one of the things, and I read up a lot about it, one of the things that our brains don't do is they don't prioritize on their own. You can have a massive project, but the smallest little thing will kind of worry you as you're going to bed. And no matter what, no matter what, it kind of bugs you. And I don't know about you, I wish my brain would just file that a little bit lower down so that the important stuff can bug me and the not so important stuff won't bug me. But our brains just don't work that way. Have a look in Philippians 1. I remember being taught this passage. It must have been in my first couple of months as a disciple. And it's stuck with me. And I find it so powerful. Philippians 1 verse 9. It says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." You know what I find so powerful about that passage? It doesn't say that you'll be able to discern what is good. It says to be able to discern what is best. And the real challenge there is so often with the things that you need to make decisions about, it's very easy if one is good and one is bad, isn't it? Kind of, sometimes, it's obvious to you. You go and ask one person, it's obvious to them. Amen. That's the good, that's the bad. I'm going to choose the good. What real life is like is there's like 10 good things and you could only choose two of them. Now, how do you figure that one out? That becomes a challenge. And I love what Paul writes here is just this prayer that you, as the Philippian church, said that you will be able to discern what is best? What is best? You know, it's one of the big challenges of our day. I mean, just think about, and I don't want to overwhelm you, but just think about all the priorities that you have in one day. And I mean, here are just some that popped into my mind as I thought about tomorrow. Okay, as I was, getting overwhelmed for my sermon this morning, I was thinking about tomorrow. I've got a whole handful of work deadlines. That's just sitting there. Preparing for Kids Zone. Needing to pop into the bank. There's about 5 people that I owe a call. Some of you. About 20 people that I owe an email. I've got tests to prepare. You've got tests to study for. Got my kids asking for special time. My kids asking me to explain certain things to them. Homework. Discipling times that need to be set up. Friends that want to study the Bible. Some me time. Yes, it does exist. Some of you need to try and find it sometime. More deadlines. Uncle's birthday parties. Cousins that need to be called. Bible talk that needs to be prepared. And the challenge is, can we do all of those things excellently? It's just not possible. There's just not enough time in the day to be able to do everything we want to do well. And so here, you know, herein lies the challenge. How do we figure out what's best? Well, I can tell you there's some very unhealthy ways to figure those things out. One of them is urgency. So often that's what happens. The urgent sits there at the top and the important gets bumped down the ladder. Is that not one of the biggest parenting challenges of our time? Is that our kids will be there and we can say later, 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 and they will be there and we feel like, man, we need to please our boss right now. It's one of the great challenges of our time because you know what? Eventually those kids get old and they talk about you as the mom and the dad who is too busy for them. At the end of my life, what is the most important thing out of whether I did reasonably well at my work or whether my kids love God, have great relationships? It's a no-brainer when I think at the end of my life, but when I think about my Monday, it's a whole different story. It's a whole different story. And so what often happens is we make these decisions based on what is most urgent. What is most urgent? Sometimes we let other people choose. We let other people choose our priorities for us. And then later on we get bitter when actually, you know what, it was us who were weak. We didn't choose our own priorities. Sometimes we make decisions based on what order things arrive on our plate. I'm terrible at that. It's kind of the email comes in, it's kind of let me answer that and forget about everything else. Sometimes we allow manipulation to guide our priorities. And some of us are more easily manipulated than others, aren't we? You know, that, you know, oh, can you do this? Oh, please. You know, and all of a sudden we have a list of priorities, and yet we're easily manipulated into other people's priorities. Guilt, people pleasing. Whoever asks the loudest. That's like I don't know if it's like a young kid's thing, but it's like, man, if the kid screams at the loudest, then they'll kind of get heard. And you know, the challenge is sometimes it's true. Sometimes the one who screams the loudest does get what they want. It's just a bad thing when you get a little bit older. But, you know, like strength, when in those tough situations, when you need wisdom, when you pray for wisdom, so often the answer doesn't come in the yes or the no. The answer comes in the fact that you've got problems and you need to try and figure them out. And God gives us absolutely, at times, a miraculous bit of insight. But you know what? He gives you spiritual friends. He gives you the Bible. He gives you the Holy Spirit. There's plenty that God is doing to try and guide you. But make no mistake, those problems are good. That's where you're going to get wisdom one day, looking back, is the problems that you solved. And God kind of, he sends them our way. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges for someone like me, I like to say yes too much, is to learn how to let it go. And sometimes it's hard. I mean, you guys know the Frozen song, hey? Yeah, to kind of let it go. You know, now you can take that too far, absolutely. And if you do that, you might find yourself, you know, on a snow hill somewhere talking to a snowman. Okay? So, you know, sometimes don't let it all go. But sometimes it's just learning how to let it go. Let go of the opportunity. That's not a tough one. An opportunity lands on your plate, and you think, all opportunities must be from God. Is that a promise in the Bible? That everything that you see as an opportunity is a gift from God? No. So sometimes we need to look at an opportunity and be willing to let it go. It's being willing to let go of some work commitments. Willing to let go of old habits. Willing to let go of the past, of sentimentality. I hate throwing things away. I'm like Mr. Sentimental. And yet sometimes you got to take that old t-shirt and let it go. And my wife says, amen. The third and final point is the prayer for courage. You know, there's all kinds of things that make us scared. We get scared of change, scared of failure, scared of commitment, scared of horror movies, scared of loneliness. And, you know, sometimes even the most courageous looking people are actually the people that are the most scared. They just hide it really, really, really well. And, you know, so often our fears, they come from people, don't they? And it's just, it's a powerful proverb. I think it'll come up in Proverbs 29. It talks about how the fear of man, the fear of people, will prove to be a snare. It says, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. There's something about people. We can be so brave in front of the mirror as we're having this conversation with a work colleague in our mind. And yet, when we're face to face with them, we get scared. We get scared. And if that wasn't normal, it wouldn't be in the Bible. God knows we get scared. And, you know, one of the greatest grips that can kind of overcome our hearts is this fear of people. What do they think? What are my friends going to say about me? If I do this, if I tell them where I'm going this weekend, what are people going to think of me? How will they respond? Will they accept me? You know, it's one of those things. I see it in myself. I see it in my kids. When they get scared and you think of all the opportunities and parents and you know, it's you know, as a parent, you see your children and you see the opportunities open for them. And then they get scared and you just feel like, but can't you see? It's just fear. Do it. There's a reward on the other side. It's amazing. But yet that fear just grips our hearts. And we decide to play it safe, and we decide to get comfortable. You know, I'm sure you all kind of experience these walls that we have. Not real walls, but these kind of virtual walls, these emotional walls. And you know it's there when you get defensive. Ever felt defensive in your heart? Like, you know, you're having a conversation, and then all of a sudden someone brings something up with you, and all of a sudden you feel a little bit like, why are they saying that? And what's going on? And sometimes you don't say it. Sometimes you just feel it. But, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you've kind of crossed over into the uncomfortable space here. And I'm not feeling so good. These walls, these fears that we build up around us. And, you know, so often it's just this fear of being misunderstood. You're kind of all hairy casual. And as soon as it feels like someone misunderstands you, it's like, whoa, let me just explain myself. It's a fear of being misunderstood. Maybe it's the fear of being labeled. Someone says, you're just like this. And you're like, no, I'm not. No, you are. No, I'm not. And I'm like, don't label me. It's fear. Fear of being judged. Fear of being hurt again. Very real, isn't it? You've been hurt before. It wasn't nice. Set you back. Months, sometimes years, and you get into a scenario that kind of feels like it's the same, and all of a sudden those fears come back, and those walls come back. Have a look in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to close out with a passage here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. There's a powerful passage, and if you want to learn a lot about fear, you know, read the whole book of 1 John. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And we're just taking a little portion out here, but you know, it doesn't say that, you know what, you know, when there's fear, just pray for courage. It's kind of one of those things, again, that we want. When we're scared, we just want to be miraculously brave so that we can handle those scenarios. No, it says, when there's fear, you've got to love. Seems a little bit strange. Like, hey, fear, courage, that kind of makes sense. It says, no, when there's fear, you have got to love. And you know what, fear, and again, it's one of those things that I teach my kids over and over again. Fear is good. To be nervous is good. It's the way God made you. It's one of your defense mechanisms. Good, healthy defense mechanisms. When there's danger, you feel fear and you protect yourself. Now, as time goes on, that gets a little bit broken. Okay, and we get scared of the wrong things. But fear is good. Overcoming fear, however, is something that takes time. Takes exercise. Exercising your love. And you know, it's one of those things that to overcome fear, you've just got to be in lots and lots and lots of scary situations. It's just as simple as that. And you know what? The unknown is scary. The impossible is scary. The uncomfortable is scary. Those things are very scary. And if you feel fear when faced with those things, you are normal. You are normal. But you know what? I want to encourage you, when you feel those things, love first. And if you don't know what that means, I'll give you an illustration. So, you know, for a young kid to walk into a room full of strangers and adults can be scary for them. Okay? They kind of, you know, my kids walk into a room filled with my friends, and they kind of hug the wall. I don't know if you've kind of seen that, kind of hug the wall. You know, it's a little bit intimidating. And what we've had to teach them is what you are feeling in that moment is insecurity. It's insecurity. You don't know what people are thinking. You don't know why they're there. You've got more questions unanswered than answered. And so you come into the room and you feel scared. And how they overcome it is we tell them, forget about what you think they think of you. Walk into the room and love first. And we literally, in our house, we role play it. So we kind of, you know, we role play the kind of the scared, you know, waiting to be loved before you love persona. And then we show them walking into the room and loving first and walking and say, hey, how are you? And initiating instead of waiting. You know what? The challenge is for us, I think we need some of that. I think sometimes we get into scenarios where we allow our fears and our insecurities to dominate. Instead of saying, you know what? I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the courage, but I just need to love first. And you know what's amazing? You make that decision, you'll be fascinated by what happens. Those walls come down. The joy returns. All of a sudden, that energy that you have spent focused on yourself, you allow it to be focused on others, to see their needs, to allow God to use you to reach into other people's lives. Church, God is answering our prayers all the time, isn't He? It's not with a magic wand, but He is answering your prayers all the time. We must be convinced of this. We must be. When we ask for strength, when we ask for wisdom, when we ask for courage, let's look for the difficulties to overcome. Let's look for the problems to solve, and let's look for the scary situations in which to love first. Amen.